Sunday, Hey Elul, Rabbi Bieberfeld, Vinyan Elul.
Vinyan Elul. Moira Rabbi Isai, Shusar Rav Shvat. As I think I mentioned already once when I was here, I am an old Edgewarian, probably older than any of the current Mispalelim here. My Edgeware days go back to Tovshin Chov Daled, where I was here for a year, living in 18 Menlo Park Crescent. That I left, and for a few years I was somewhere else. I still consider myself a subject of Middlesex. There is a little bit. There's something which has been on my heart for a long time, and I wanted to discuss it with my friends in Stamford Hill. And we had a little share about Elul last week, and this is what I want to share with you too. We know that the Torah Kedosh gave us Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, it says in the Torah, Yoim Teruah. Yoim Teruah Yelachem. Zichron Teruah. One place it says Yoim Teruah, and one place it says Zichron Teruah. And Chazal tell us that Yoim Teruah is not just to make a big loud noise of the shofar, but this is a Yoim, Hayoim Haras Oilom. This is a Yoim that we are being the Mishpat of Yidden, or the ganze Welt, the whole world is being nishpat on the day of Rosh Hashanah. Then we know from the Torah Kedosha, ki bayom hazeh yechape aleichem, the Yom Kippur is the Yom Kapuras Avoinos. So we've got two very important milestones in the Yiddish calendar called Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, both of them mentioned in the Torah itself. The Torah speaks about Yom Kippur, Befirush, as Yom Kapuras Avoinos, and the Torah speaks about Rosh Hashanah as being Yom Teruah, and Chazal interpret and explain to us that Yom Teruah is not just Yom Teruah, but Yom HaMishpot. So that we know. We also know from Chazal already that Aseres Yemei Tshuva is a kind of a bridge connecting between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What I mean, the bridge? The Rambam and the Gemara speaks, or the Chazal speaks, but the Rambam puts it very clearly that a person has to see himself as a Beinoini, a person has to assume he's a Beinoini, and the Beinoinim are pending, their case is pending between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So Aseres Yemei Tshuva find also a very strong place in the Yiddish calendar. The Luach gives Aseres Yemei Tshuva a very important place, because we must assume we are Beinoinim. Everybody has to assume he is somewhere in the middle. And if he's somewhere in the middle, the Gemara says, the Beinoinim tluyim v'omdim between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So therefore, both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are very central place, and so does Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So that is all very easy, therefore, to accept. Not so easy to implement, but easy to accept. I'm saying not too easy to implement, pardon? No, not too easy to implement, because I know people, I've been living in Munich for a while, and I know people who treat Rosh Hashanah, Lehavdil, not like Chas V'Sholom, the Goyim's New Year, but not so far from it. Makayf, nice blumen, very nice flowers, nice bottle of wine, prepare yourself very nice to the meal, we eat by the Shvigor, by the Shver, it's all very Yom Tov Dik, but very little feeling of Yoim Hadin. As a matter of fact, one of my friends, a Talmidim of my father in Munich, once missed the tefillah in Rosh Hashanah. And he was not very frum, he is not very frum, but he's traditional. And I asked him on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, where were you on the first day? So I said, I'll tell you something, the davening in our shul is so superficial, it's so concentrating on the nigunim and the nusach, that I felt that my Rosh Hashanah is better spent sitting with my sister and brother at home and doing our balance sheet. Not the business balance sheet, our balance sheet. And I thought, I mean, he's wrong, aloch, alpi aloch, he's got to be in shul, and he's got to daven, and hear kriya shofar. But his approach was quite interesting, a pnimistic approach. So Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, have a very, very strong place. What I want to ask, and what I want to share, is something which actually, I don't want to say the word disturbed me, but it challenged me for many years. I felt, being in yeshiva and yeshivas, that Elul is being imposed on us as an additional, where there's no need for it. Torah Otzon Geim Yom Kippur, Torah, Chazal explained that the context includes Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Fine. Look in the Torah. Look in the Torah for Chodesh Elul as being special. You will not find anything. Elul is one of the 12 months. Fine. I know that we say Anila Doidi V'Doidili. If time will allow, how much time will we have? Just in if time will allow, I'll say some word from the Chotkeva about Elul. But Elul is a remez. Anila Doidi V'Doidili. This is a remez in the Rosh Hashanah of the month. But generally, neither the Nevi'im nor the Divrei Kabbalah doesn't mention whatever on Elul. I always felt in yeshiva days, as if the mashgichim used to say also Tammuz, I remember. Tkufas, what did he say? Tshuva, memash, tkufas, memashme, tshuva, memashme, zman, tshuva, memashme, shvuba. Zman, tshuva, memashme, shvuba. So by that kind of calculation, you can take every month, actually, and make some kind of a tshuva idea of it, which in a way is very good, but in another way takes away the whole idea of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. If you can try and put every month into this, so what makes Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? There's also a Musar about as a Gansiyo, Zazan vi Elul, when Elul, Zazan vi Elul. So, you know, that's what I mean to say. What I mean to say is, do we need an Elul? The Torah gave us Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, says a Metshuva. Let's concentrate on what the Torah gave us. Why do we need an Elul? And I know that the Kehilas Sfardim, which if you think is a late minig, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about Slichas starting already in on Rosh Chodesh, on the day after Rosh Chodesh Elul. And we do not have, Ashkenazim do not have necessarily the slichas the whole month of Elul, but we do have the Tkiyas Shofar, which certainly is to indicate that we do accept Elul being a special month. Tkiyas Shofar, after all, is an indicator of being Erev Rosh Hashanah. And Ladovid Hashem Oyer Reishi, which some of the Kehillahs say Dafka on the month of Elul, so we do accept the whole Klal Yisrael in one way or another, except that Elul is a special month, which is a trigger for tshuva. And my question is, why? And I can only give you my own answer, which gave me some peace with my quest to understand what is Elul, what makes Elul special for us today. And I'll start with a moshel. The moshel is with a very close person who told me the following story. He's been summoned to Cardiff. Cardiff is a place where the company house sits. And when somebody does not keep the laws of the company house or the regulations of companies, he's being summoned to the magistrate's court in Cardiff to give count to his behavior or misbehavior. And this person was summoned to Cardiff to the court there, and he's been a company director, secretary, or some official of a company, and he did not prepare the books of that company on time. There was no tax implication, there was just laziness on his behalf, and he did not present the company books and papers on time to company's house. And that happened, and he was called to summoned to the court. And at the court, the magistrate asked him, is that the first time? So he didn't need to answer, because the prosecutor said, no, it isn't. And then the judge asked, is it the second time? No, it isn't. And the prosecutor was very pleased to present the court with papers showing that it's the third or fourth time that the subject, this person, has violated the dates of the company house. So, on this account, he should be disqualified from being a company director. Oy vey. So our friend is there, and the magistrates ask him just one question. When did you find out that you violated the regulation or law? He said, about 9 months ago. And what did you do in order to mitigate the problems? He said, look, I changed accountants, I changed bookkeeper, and I put a special person in my office to deal with these papers and books and whatever it is in order for this to be rectified. Oh, he said, when did you get the court summons? He said, 40 days ago, 30 days ago. There are 30 days that between the summons. Aha, says the magistrate. Maisa Shoya, I'm not inventing the Maisa. If you already 8 months before you got the summons, try to mitigate the Aveira, no. Even though you're a third time already, a fourth time, we can see that you're working on yourself, on your company, to improve your ways. So he got off with some small knas of £300, which for him was a big relief, because if he was disqualified, he wouldn't be able to act anymore as a company director. Now, I got this into my mind, and I thought, here we are, mitigating. This is a word. Mitigating, the English word. And Stanford had to explain what it means. But, and I had to understand myself what it means. But what it means is, what do you do before Yemei Hadin in order to show that you're trying to do the best? In a way, if we start our Cheshbon HaNefesh on Rosh Hashanah in the morning, then we are already in the court. The guy who comes to the court and says, now I'm doing tshuva, now I'm not going to do any more Lashon Hara while I'm here in court, is not being shown that he's mitigating what he's done throughout the year. But somebody who uses 30 days before in order to try and improve and change, even if he's had this year after year, it still shows something special in his behavior. And all of a sudden I realize the Mashmos of Elul for us. Elul is a month where Taka, right I was. There's no court yet, there's no Yom Adin, there's no Aseret Yemei Tshuva, there's no Tkiya Shofar Min HaTorah, there's no Tzom Yom HaKippurim, but this is the time that the Goy in Cardiff understood, gives an indication about where we are and what we are. Are we trying to change our ways in a time where there's no court yet, where we are not in the atmosphere of Tishrei, in the atmosphere of Yemei Hadin? And this is a gewaltig indicator to where we are. So my Elul this year is a changed position. I used to be a Keilu Kfoy shade on Elul. All right, we have to do. I learned. I'm a mami, not only be Kedush Baruch Hu, but in the Chachma Adoyrus, in the Gdoil Ador. And if they said Elul, I'm going to keep Elul. The Dovda Hashem, the Tkiya Shofar, it does give a little shokol and so on. But this Elul, I've got a different approach. I feel that this is my chance. This is our chance to show a reduction, Lashon Hara, improvement of the Tefillah, improvement of all these things that throughout the year we got Shvach. Because we can come Rishon and say, we started to change, to mitigate, when it was all clear, when there was no clouds in the horizon. So this is one way, the way I understood Elul in a new form, which helped me myself to understand and have a shtikel achidush in this year's Elul. And as I said, like the guy in Cardiff, even though he had three or four convictions before, it helped. So Elul is a time where even if we did already promise once to keep, and we didn't stay the whole year with this Madrega, this is now the time to... That's one aspect which this year came into my mind, the Baruch Hashem. I felt when I shared it with friends that they also thought it was a very relevant point. Another point, which possibly is in our days more important than it was years and decades ago, is... You know that Chassidim or Rishonim, it says, Hoyoshoyim Sho Achas, Umispalim Shoim Achas, Vashoyim Sho Achas. So they had the habit of preparing themselves to daven an hour, and then standing an hour davening, and then having a soft landing, that's called. A soft landing. After davening, there's soft landing, not a crash landing, you know. Finish davening, immediately running to do the business. So they have a soft. Now, when we come Rosh Hashanah to daven, let's say we have no Elul, because that was my question, basically. What do we need Elul for? We come to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we come straight from our general year, Yemei Achol, straight till Erev Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon, 20 minutes before the Shkia. We have no thoughts of any other sort than the normal day-to-day Yemei Achulin. Let us say that is what we would do. As many people in the world do, as I described the people in modern, very modern Kehillahs, they just Rosh Hashanah, okay, so come Kiyah Shefer here, but nothing before that. One of the problems we have, that our mind is very subtracted, or is it wrong? It's distracted by many things. And I cannot imagine, we come to Rosh Hashanah, we should have a tefillah Rosh Hashanah, whether it is a Mariv, the first night of Rosh Hashanah, the Shachas of Rosh Hashanah, without having thousands of other thoughts in our minds, if we are not kind of calming down and preparing ourselves for that day. especially nowadays, where so many things fly through our head, whether business or whether politics, and the information, the media, the information that we get, and I'm already only concentrating on the media that we have today. Baruch Hashem, we have kosher media, 60 pages of Amodi, 100 pages of Yated Neman, Mishpacha, Ami, Bina, Jewish Tribune, I don't want to insult anybody, the Yid and the Blatt and all the other magazines that are all Kushel and Mahadrin in one way or another. So we have so many things flying through our mind in the worldly affairs and business affairs, and the chulin is so heavy on us. And sometimes I think to myself, I damage Shmona Esra, and all of a sudden I think about a problem that I have. I have a problem business, I have a problem which I need to sort out in my kehillah, or something I need to sort out. And it goes through my mind and doesn't let me daven, because I think about the problem, and all of a sudden I find myself already in Moedim. The Amora and the Gemara said that if not that Moedim has a koirim, he wouldn't remember that he is davening. So I stop and I think, I am having a problem. I am now speaking, not to the person, but to Kodesh Baruch Hu, who can, if I pray, does I have a staff design, sort this problem in a split second. Instead, I'm giving away. It's like, I mean, I don't know what to compare it. You go to a bank manager, he can give you a loan of £100,000, and while you're talking to him, you're thinking for a moment about, you've got £2 in your pocket, what to do with this when you go out, which candy to buy, right? So you are crazy, because this guy can sort out your problems for, not for good, but for very, very long period. He'll give you a loan with very, very low interest for 10 years. Instead, you're occupying yourself. Why are you speaking to him? So at the end, he says to me, Rabbi Yidi says to you, you really didn't present your case well, because you were thinking about something else. I don't know what it was. So we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shachris Ben Chamarev, and very often our mind is occupied with our own problems. And while we are doing this, we are trying to sort something out, which if our tefillah would be a better tefillah, could be. I mean, we have no guarantee. Bitochen doesn't mean that we have guarantee that our tefillah will be miskabel and immediately everything. But we have a hope that if we daven, azevis dav tzazan, the shomer tefillas kol pe, koyev Hashem leishmer, all the psukim that indicate HaKadosh Baruch Hu may answer our request if we daven, azevis dav tzazan. So when we come to Rosh Hashanah, and we want to use the dates of Rosh Hashanah well, doesn't it make sense that we start to calm down, start to switch off from the day-to-day problems which occupy us the whole year, so that when we come to Rosh Hashanah, we don't, like the marshal of the Chassidim or Rishonim or Rishonim Shoachas, the 1 month of changing the proportion a little bit, the Tkiya Shofar, the Ladov Hashem Oyer, should bring us to the level that when we come to Rosh Hashanah and we daven the first Mariv of the new year, and the first morning is the Din of the year, we should be able to daven Masayvus Dav Tzazan. So another aspect of Elul that I discovered, or that I tried to work on myself, is that Elul should be a month where we start to bring ourselves to the Madrega that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we should be able to daven Azevis Dav Tzazan. So that's two aspects that I felt Elul should be. One is a kind of a month where we mitigate our deeds of the whole year, so that there is something good that we can present when we come to Yom Adin. And the other one is that the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur should be tefillahs as they should be, and a preparation is needed. I mean, ask a chazan who davens before Omer, and he only means to convince us that is Nigunim Anais. He starts already well before. He doesn't come Erev Rosh Hashanah. Ochen Veita, the Chazan, comes Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he starts to prepare himself to the Nigunim. So you'll say, why? What do you need Elul for? He said, of course I need. Well, ask the performers in the Goyish world, how if they want to perform well, they need a lot of work in order to get to this point. People very often think they envy the Goyish very Matzliach, the Gesing or performers, how beautiful they sing and millions of people listen to them. But if they would know what hard work is involved, what hard work, before you come and present yourself, developing a hard work. So the idea that we need to prepare ourselves is not so far-fetched, even if you think about the secular world, to prepare yourself to something. So, I want to tell you a story, share with you a story that I read some for, about the Chaim Kanievsky Zangizot. Chaim Kanievsky came to visit his daughter and son-in-law, Rav Tzivion. I think I know them from Yeshiva still. He learned in Ponovich, Yeshiva Tzir, I learned in Ruzhin, but it was a small oilam at the time. And he came to visit them at their home, and he sees, or he listens to his daughter telling a story to his grandchildren. And the story is Bavust. The story is a known story. The story is Ben Ish Chaim Be'agoda has it. And he tells a story about a person who wanted to establish his panosa on a better level. And he told his wife and family that he's going to the big city where he's going to work hard for a few months and earn a lot of money, much more than he earned in this shtetl where he was living. But at the end of this period, he will have enough money that he saved to come back to the shtetl, to the village, and open a bakery. And then he'll have good panosa. Until now he was employed by somebody else. And he'll work in the city, in the big town, for 6 months, and after which he'll come back and have savings and so on. So he goes to the big town, and he works at the bakery. Yoim v'laylo, he learns the secrets of how to make delicious cakes. And he's there, yoim v'laylo, he works 18 hours a day, and just leaves himself a few hours to daven and to rest, and then he made Baruch Hashem enough money so that he could lease a small shop and open his own bakery in his shtetl, and he is very happy, looking forward to the good future. Mitzvah Hashem. On the way back, though, he is being attacked by a gazlan, by a robber. And this robber comes with a gun, and he tells him life or money. And of course, Nebuch, he worked very hard. He's got a few thousand pounds in his pocket. He's giving the few thousand pounds to the ganev. And he says to the ganev, this is a known story. He says to the ganev, you know what? I'm now coming home after 6 months that I worked very hard on this. Now nobody will believe me. My wife, my children, everybody will think I just had a good time on the beach somewhere, and that's why I'm coming without money. So please, do me a favor, take your gun, and in my head, shoot one or two bullets into my head, so that when I come, I'll have like proof that I've been involved in a fight with a gunman. He said, okay, he was a very good-hearted gunman. So he said, no problem. He took his gun out, and they shoot, make two holes in the head. He said, you know what, the head is the head, but it looks funny, because if it was on my head, then why didn't it? So my jacket off, hangs his jacket on the tree, says two or three more bullets, that will convince two more bullets in the jacket. He said, sorry, I ran out of ammunition, he said. I haven't got a third bullet. Ah, you run out of bullets? He starts to give him left and right. He attacks him. He puts him into his place, the gunman. Puts him on the floor. He said, "Una gun bin chokhazah giver. Without a gun, I'm just as strong as you are." And he puts him on the floor. Before he goes away, he empties his pocket, takes back his 6,000 pounds, how much it was. And he wants to go back on his horse. So the gunman says to him, "Rusha, that you clapped me, understand, that you hacked me, understand, that you took away my ammunition, I understand, but why are you taking my money away?" So he said, "Your money?" So "Your money?" He said, "My money." He said, "Your money? The 6,000 pounds, why are you taking them away from me?" says the gunman. So Chaim Kanievsky says, this last piece of the mice is not so known. Everybody knows the story with this last piece of the mice, that the gunman still asked him to give back the money, the gegazelte money to give back. But this is what the real moral of the story is. Because the oiva avera is so into it that he already considers the money that he gazled 10 minutes ago to be his. Now, we are not to this madrega. We are not to this madrega, chas v'shalom, that we don't ganev, and if we ganev, chas v'shalom, we would know that we ganev. If we touch somebody else's money, we would know it's not ours. We are not in that madrega. But doesn't it apply to us in different ways? We think very often, I'll apply another story. My father told me that Rav Dushinsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was once asked by a German modern Orthodox rabbi, is it true that you, Rabina Dushinsky, allow under some circumstances to shake hands with a lady because of business obligation? Is there a heter? He asked. Is there a heter? He says, yes. There's a Gemara saying, Kivan she'ova odom aveira v'shono, if one made aveira more than one time, nase loike heter. He feels already it is mutter. That is the only heter I know, Rav Dushinsky said. Likewise, and like the story of this gunman, sometimes we think that something we've been doing for a while, and may I say, I don't know how it is here in Israel maybe, but in the wide Yiddish world today, Lashon Hara is one of the averas that people think is mutter. I mean, when you say somebody, why did you tell me this story? It's Lashon Hara. There's no, he'll look at you as if, you know, well, what are you talking about? Where are you coming from? Well, yeah, it's Nasrullah character. It's a gunner who feels that the money that he guzzled is already his. And he's surprised when you say, what do you want to, well, why not say something that everybody speaks about? And everybody knows that he is so and so and so and so and so. So maybe the month of fellow is also a month to consider being more careful in the way we speak about others. Very careful, because sometimes really it is like so common to it doesn't go into the tape, right? So I want to be messiah with the voice. Very short. The Chotkever Eltazay, the Zecher Tzadik Vor, used to say, maybe he brings it from others, I'm not sure, I don't remember whether he brings it from Friediger, that Anila Doidi Vedoidi Lid, everybody, we started, that's the Rosh Tevis of Elul, means something very important. He says, in the world there is Isra Usa de Le'ele, which the Eibishter gives us. Itzuma shel Yom Chapa. When we speak about Yom Kippur, it says Itzuma shel Yom Chapa, the day itself as a koyach hakapora. And there is also Isra Usa de Lesata, what we are, that we are waking up ourselves. And he said that this is actually what it means. Anil doidi v'doideli. The month of Elul is used for us to be the initiators. The initiative should come for us. While the month of Tishrei, the initiative comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Zoltak Adav Shehelfen, that we do the Elul Azevistav to Zayin, at the Tishar Zayin Azevistav to Zayin, and we will all be Mitzvah Shem, Betoch Klali, so it will be Nechta, Venechtam, Lechaim, Toivim, and we should have a Shona Toivim, Mosheres.